Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Overthinker's Guide to Happiness Rewiring Your Mind for Joyful Living by Michael Erickson, is a practical self-help book focused on the everyday burden of excessive thinking. Its subject is not abstract philosophy, but the familiar pattern of replaying conversations, doubting decisions, worrying about uncertain outcomes, and becoming mentally trapped in situations that may not require further analysis. Positioned within the personal development and emotional well-being category, the book presents itself as a step-by-step guide for reducing mental noise, rebuilding confidence, and improving relationships in both personal and professional settings. Based on available information, its purpose is to help readers recognize overthinking as a repeatable mental habit rather than a fixed identity. The book emphasizes usable strategies over theoretical discussion, aiming to translate the idea of mental rewiring into daily behavior. Its central appeal lies in making happiness feel connected to practical self-management, clearer judgment, and calmer interaction with others. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, overthinking is framed as a repeatable mental loop rather than a personality flaw. A central idea of The Overthinker's Guide to Happiness is that overthinking becomes harmful when thought stops serving decision-making and turns into repetition. The book addresses patterns such as second-guessing choices, replaying conversations, and worrying about factors outside personal control. These examples matter because they show overthinking as a process with recognizable triggers and consequences, not simply as intelligence, caution, or sensitivity. By treating the problem as a loop, the book gives readers a more practical way to intervene. A person cannot easily stop being thoughtful, but they can notice when thought has shifted from useful reflection into circular analysis. This distinction is important in the self-help context because many readers who overthink also value being responsible, careful, and prepared. The book appears to avoid condemning thought itself and instead focuses on the cost of unregulated mental repetition. That framing makes the guidance more realistic. The goal is not to empty the mind or ignore problems, but to identify when additional thinking no longer improves understanding, relationships, or action. This approach turns overthinking from a vague emotional burden into a habit that can be observed, interrupted, and gradually weakened. Secondly, mental rewiring is presented as a practical method for changing attention habits. The subtitle emphasizes rewiring the mind, and the available description suggests that the book uses this idea in a practical rather than clinical sense. The focus is on helping readers redirect attention, quiet internal noise, and replace automatic mental spirals with more constructive responses. This matters because overthinking often feels involuntary. A person may know that a worry is excessive, yet still feel pulled back into it. The concept of rewiring gives the reader a framework for repetition and practice mental patterns become stronger when rehearsed. So calmer patterns must also be practiced consistently. The book appears to place less emphasis on dramatic insight and more emphasis on step-by-step change. That is a useful orientation for readers who want concrete help with daily rumination. Rewiring, in this context, is best understood as changing the sequence between trigger, interpretation, emotional reaction, and behavior. Instead of treating every anxious thought as a signal that more analysis is needed, the reader learns to pause and choose a different response. The value of this approach is that it makes happiness dependent less on ideal circumstances and more on improved mental habits. It also keeps the advice grounded in ordinary situations, rather than abstract promises. Thirdly, confidence is linked to making decisions without endless internal negotiation. The book connects overthinking with low confidence, especially through the habit of second-guessing decisions. This connection is important because many guides to confidence focus on external performance, public speaking, or achievement. While Erickson positions confidence as partly an internal decision process, when a person repeatedly revisits every choice, the mind receives the message that its own judgment cannot be trusted. Even small decisions can become mentally expensive, and that cost can discourage action. The book appears to address this by encouraging readers to reduce the need for perfect certainty before moving forward. This does not mean careless decision-making. Rather, it suggests that after reasonable reflection, continued rumination often produces more anxiety than accuracy. Confidence grows when the reader practices choosing, acting, and learning without treating every outcome as a verdict on personal worth. This topic is one of the book's practical strengths because it links happiness to agency. A reader who can decide with less internal conflict is likely to feel more capable in work, relationships, and daily routines. The message is especially relevant for people whose overthinking takes the form of constant self-evaluation. By weakening the habit of mental cross-examination, the book presents confidence as a skill that can be rebuilt through repeated behavioral evidence. Fourthly, relationship problems are treated as a major consequence of excessive mental replay, the book gives attention to relationships at work and in personal life, which broadens its focus beyond private anxiety. Overthinking often becomes relational because people replay conversations, search for hidden meanings, anticipate rejection, or assume responsibility for how others respond. These habits can distort communication. A delayed reply, a short comment, or an awkward meeting may be interpreted as proof of conflict when the evidence is incomplete. The book appears to treat stronger relationships as one outcome of reduced mental noise. This is a meaningful angle because many readers experience overthinking most intensely after social interaction. The mind tries to secure certainty about what others meant, but the result can be emotional exhaustion, withdrawal, defensiveness, or unnecessary apology. By helping readers quiet the replay cycle, the book offers a path toward more direct and less reactive communication. In a workplace setting, this can support clearer collaboration and reduce the tendency to personalize ambiguous feedback. In personal relationships, it can help prevent small uncertainties from becoming larger emotional narratives. The relationship focus also differentiates the book from guides that treat overthinking only as an individual stress problem. Erickson presents it as a pattern that affects trust, connection, and everyday social confidence. Lastly, joyful living is defined through peace of mind and control over mental focus. The promise of joyful living in the title is closely tied to reclaiming peace of mind. Based on the available description, the book does not appear to define happiness as constant positivity or the absence of difficulty. Instead, it links happiness to the ability to stop living entirely inside mental noise. This is a grounded and useful interpretation because overthinkers may not lack good circumstances. They may lack access to those circumstances because attention is consumed by worry, regret, or imagined outcomes. The practical implication is that happiness improves when readers learn to distinguish between what deserves attention and what only repeats distress. The book also highlights worries about things that cannot be controlled, suggesting that part of joyful living involves reallocating energy toward choices, behavior, and present interaction. Its contribution is narrower and more actionable, reduce unnecessary mental struggle, so that ordinary life becomes more available. The idea of joy here is therefore not sentimental. It is connected to cognitive space, emotional regulation, and the everyday capacity to participate in life without constantly analyzing it from a distance. In conclusion, The Overthinker's Guide to Happiness is best suited for readers who recognize themselves in patterns of rumination, decision paralysis, social replay, and worry about uncontrollable outcomes. It is likely to be especially useful for people seeking a straightforward self-help guide rather than a dense psychological text. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers name the overthinking cycle, reduce the authority of repetitive thoughts, and build steadier confidence through clearer action. Intellectually, the book offers a simple but valuable reframing: overthinking is not proof of depth or responsibility when it blocks judgment, connection, and peace of mind. Compared with many books in the same category, its distinguishing feature is the combination of mental quieting, confidence building, and relationship improvement within one accessible roadmap. Some self-help books focus mainly on anxiety reduction, while others focus on happiness, productivity, or social skills. This book appears to position overthinking as the common thread connecting all of those areas. That makes it relevant for readers whose problem is not one isolated symptom, but a recurring habit of living too much inside analysis. It stands out through its practical orientation and its attention to how mental loops affect everyday choices, work interactions, and emotional presence. If you would like to support Michael Erickson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.